T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. What a glorious moment for the Ramblers. And you see him on the front page of USA Today. So it's around the country. I'm talking about the front page of that newspaper. I'm just reaching for it. Look at that, Zach. See that over there?
I mean, that's a one shining moment.
That is it. That was the opening day, not the biggest upset, because that belongs to Buffalo, a 13 seed, but that was a blowout. So is that an upset? I mean, that was, you know, that wasn't even close. But certainly Loyola, the one shining moment was theirs for one day, and it's on the, you know, again, it's next to the masthead on USA Today. That paper is in every airport in the country. It goes all over the place. You get it at hotels. I don't know if you're aware. In fact, you get inserts of it now. You know, the poor newspaper business is really struggling, and you get different inserts of USA Today in various papers around the country. I noticed it was in the Arizona Republic. Certainly, it's been in the Sun-Times for a while. It's rough, the way the newspaper business is working, and best wishes to everyone at the Tribune that's gone through some of the layoffs that they had yesterday. Just kind of breaks your heart. Some of those guys are people that we know well, and we wish them very well, them and their families, and hopefully everybody can get back up and running. And really hard to go through stuff like that. Certainly been through it myself at the Sun-Times, and difficult for everyone involved.
That's why enjoy the moment that you had yesterday with the Loyola Ramblers. This segment is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think you have not yet told us, Mully, as a graduate of Loyola, what you
got
did.
Got a degree, man. But I don't know what you heard.
What you did yesterday to celebrate. You still have not told us aftermath.
I told you it was my wife's birthday yesterday. We were jumping up and down. We had like some unbelievable moments at the end of that game. My son came back later and he was like, God, that was unbelievable. I'm like, yeah, it was a great sporting event. And it really kind of made the day wonderful in a way. You know, my wife would never sit down and watch a basketball game. I don't think she'll watch another tournament game, but she did sit down, you know, what a great person to share that with me, and she knew it meant a lot to me, and I was really pumped up for it. But I watched more games, you know what I mean? Now we had a lot of birthday stuff go on, and we had other things going, but it was almost like when the White Sox beat the Boston Red Sox. You just, you know, 2005, the Sox win that series. And instead of jumping up and down and everything, I just kind of sat there. And my wife said to me, like, why aren't you happy? And I said, I'm delighted. I don't think I've ever seen the White Sox win a playoff game. And they flashed up something that they hadn't won a playoff game in like 80 years or something. You know, they hadn't won a game, and I'm a playoff series. The last playoff series they won was, you know, because they won the pennant before I was born. But, and I'm sitting there like, I've watched the Sox in the playoffs before, but I've never seen them win a series. And it just, so it was like, wow, Loyola had the one shining moment. And I just sat there like I wanted my team to win. And my brother called from England, and we were talking, and, you know, we were in Vegas for the opening round of the tournament. You remember the year Notre Dame lost to Kentucky? They gave Kentucky a great game. My brother went to Notre Dame, and then they lost at the end of the game. And, you know, we talked about that. Like, most of your life, you go through heartache with the teams you love, right? When you're supporting a team, sometimes it's glorious, and, you know, you live in Boston, and you're a Patriots fan, and everything goes right for you, and you become a great movie actor, and next thing you know, you have personal issues. But I think for most of us, we don't see that moment where it's our team that has that moment. So I wasn't like, you know, pop a bottle of champagne. I was more like, I became nostalgic, and I became, you know, real appreciative of having had that moment. I felt great about it, but I didn't feel like as crazy, you know, like I didn't want to shut down Sheridan Road as they did when the Ramblers won their first tournament game in 85. I don't know what happened on Sheridan Road, by the way. I don't know what the what was like up at the school or anything, but I'm a family man, and you know, I waited for the kids to come home, and I told everyone about it that well, my daughter was the only one who wasn't home at the time. It was fun. It was just fun.
I love the fact that it's become a national story. You know, usually those
That's
Cinderella
the thing that
stories,
amazes you.
They're elsewhere. In back-to-back years, we've had Cinderella stories here in Chicago with Northwestern last year, Loyola this year, former President Obama tweeting
yes.
about not
Incredible.
Just the victory, but Sister Jean as well. She's
yes.
become a national superstar.
She's America's grandma.
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
Figuratively?
I don't know what the guy meant, but she would be America's great-grandma, wouldn't she? She's 98 years old. And what a wonderful woman. What an articulate person. And she played the game herself. It was great to see Dante Ingram, as he's walking off the court, see Sister Jean and go over and give her a hug. But he gave her a hug like, you don't want to be near my sweaty self. He kind of it was just a – I thought it was a great moment. Really, really wonderful. And I think it's kind of how that school is. You know, it's a Jesuit university. You know, when I played soccer at Loyola, we had Father Sweeney, who loved the program, was always around. And it's just great to have that sort of connection with especially, you know, generational type thing. You're a college kid and there's, you know, priests there that have been through all sorts of stuff, and you get to talk to them and, you know, people that care about you. It's fun.
And the thing that we always do in this business is once something like this happens, Loyola with a huge upset and the dramatic way they beat Miami yesterday, what does this mean? And to me, instead of focusing on –
it means they won the game.
Right.
It was great.
Instead of what does this mean, look ahead to – before we look ahead to Tennessee, I think the thing that stands out to me about what happened at Loyola is the true testament. You often hear – programs talk about being patient, and people get so ticked off when they hear that word. But Loyola was patient with Porter Moser.
Wait, is he in his seventh year?
I mean, he's in his seventh year. He was allowed to have four losing seasons in his first 6 years at Loyola, and it's paid off with this magical season that they're having this year. But you look around college basketball and the landscape, I mean, Kevin Ollie at Connecticut gets fired
right.
just a few years after winning a championship. Tubby Smith gets let go 2 years in
right.
at Memphis. And sometimes if you're patient, you will get rewarded. And that's exactly what's happened with Loyola this year.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Interested in your take on what you saw from the tournament. There was a lot of interesting things. Boy, I thought Oklahoma, Trae Young, that was their season in a nutshell. Watching that kid play, watching what happened in that game, that was right out of the box. That was the first one, and it was a good one. And certainly we'll break down some of the stuff. We've got Zach here. You heard Kevin say how great it was to see Zach. Zach is like, it's like, you know, we have a superstar who's come in. Everybody loves Zach around the score, all the producers, all of the – Yes, he is. He's
That's
really
not true.
Taller.
That is not true.
And we're delighted to have him here. So we're going to pick his brain. We'll talk about the Bears. We'll get into some talk about his new gig with the Cubs and that team. We'll also obviously talk March Madness and Zach, the voice of DePaul basketball. We'll get his take on some of these teams from the Big East, a lot of them in the tournament. We will take advantage of our co-host this morning, and I mean hopefully financially. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. How about that? Isn't that a lovely thing to hear? That is Sister Jean, and she is now, I guess, a national celebrity. She has become as big as the Ramblers because it's such a fun story. It's kind of a made-for-TV moment. You have a 98-year-old nun serving as the team chaplain, and she gives them says a little prayer with the team before the game. And you heard what she prays for, and they're going to do their part, and God's going to do the rest. And I tell you what, I mean, it felt as if there was divine intervention. It did. It felt like that game was going the wrong way. And then suddenly it turned around and they kept doing cut shots to her watching. And, you know, it's great. It's just it's a heartwarming, wonderful story in the midst of a college basketball tournament where the winner will eventually have to abdicate or vacate their crown. So I don't know. Maybe they want to marry an American or something, so they'll just abdicate.
Sister Jean Schmidt is her name. She's 98
Sister
years
Jean
old.
Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt is her name.
Yes, but, and she's a 98 a years wonderful old. Lady. I love how she was talking about how one of the things that she was praying for is that the officials would
that's the best. That's the best part of that. Involved. That's so great. Yeah. Let's hope those blind guys are healed.
Oh my God,
it's hysterical.
So that was just a phenomenal moment for Loyola yesterday. And the signature moment, I think, in yesterday's coverage of the NCAA tournament. But you kind of hinted at it a little bit about the FBI probe and all the bad stuff that's happening around college basketball. And you said divine intervention in regards to Loyola. Isn't it kind of cool, though, that Arizona didn't just lose – but got blown out of the tournament by the Buffalo Bulls?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Zach. There's an old line about I went to a restaurant named Karma, and you can't order off the menu. You just get what you deserve. That doesn't usually happen in sports. Usually it's the best team with the best players that win. And to see that happen, I don't believe – I think that that team was probably – affected by what happened at the end of the season and Sean Miller having to be suspended for a game and then coming back. And I think there were a lot of distractions, but they also couldn't get the ball to their best player. There is for a lot of these teams in the tournament, great as they are, great as some of the players are, there is sort of a formula to beat them. And I thought we saw it right out of the box with Trae Young. You know, here's a guy that, you know, you force overtime, you get to overtime, you've got the lead. And now you come down and you jack up a 40-footer and you miss that shot and you get the ball again and you jack up another 40-footer. That was their year. That was, you know, that kid didn't do that during the game as much as, you know, he was hitting threes. He was scoring points. I know he's their team, but he wasn't standing on the painted area, which, of course, that's what where Dante Ingram hit his shot. So but that was a desperation shot at the end of a game. This is a guy in overtime with the lead, jacking the ball up a couple times, and then the next time down the floor, he gives up the ball. I'm sure someone told him to, and there's a turnover, and now all of a sudden that game is gone, and Oklahoma's chance is gone, and that was their season. So I don't know that we can say it's karma or it's intervention by divine providence. I think it might just be you are revealed as to who you are. That was the Arizona team was a struggling team based on the distraction of that stuff, I'm sure. I don't know. It could have gone either way. I think Dustin was right. It was a boom or bust type of pick.
I'm just blown away by the way that they lost that game. That isn't just an upset.
You're right. That wasn't an upset.
They were blown off the floor.
Is that an underseeded Buffalo team? Is that what we conclude?
No. Well, Buffalo felt that it should have been seeded
a higher seed.
But the point is, when I look at that Arizona team, they're in a lot of trouble.
Because
all the recruits that Sean Miller recruited decommitted. They've already lost. It didn't take more than 30 minutes after that game, and Ayton and Trier go, we're out. We're going. We're leaving school.
Had it with this. Yeah.
So I don't know where they go.
There's more money in the pros.
I mean, that's a huge, huge problem. And then you look at the way Buffalo was playing. I mean, they're banking in fall-away threes.
That was unbelievable.
You're not supposed to have that happen in an NCAA tournament, but it did. But getting back to what you were saying, poise under pressure is the key to winning in the NCAA tournament. Loyola's got it because unlike Trae Young and Oklahoma, where they lost 11 of 14 heading into the NCAA tournament, probably didn't deserve to get in, but they were in because Trae Young is probably the most famous player in college basketball this season. Loyola was able to win on the road this year, 9 true road wins. That's a big deal. Played a really tough schedule. Teams with an RPI of 22 had won 17 of 18 heading into yesterday's game. And defensively, because of their identity, number 5 in the country in fewest points allowed per game, 2nd in the nation in fewest fouls committed, they know that they're going to be in games. So the question becomes, do you have enough offense to allow you to win? And they did yesterday. I don't know if they'll be able to do it against Tennessee because Tennessee is just as good defensively as Loyola is, whereas Miami was not, and it cost the Hurricanes yesterday.
And while Loyola was winning and, you know, Joe Quenneville was sending them his best wishes and the president mentioned them, and you had all the Cubs sending videos to them before the game, and the Bears were holding a press conference when they got in the tournament for the first time in 33 years. And we will bring in our guy Big Z, and it is Big's time next, and we'll talk to Brad about whether there has been a change and whether the Bears are now the free agent destination of the NFL, or are they just a team that's willing to pay a lot of money and manage to get a lot of players? And we'll also ask him, hey, you double down on it now. You got Cam Meredith coming back. You got Kevin White coming back. You've managed to sign a couple of guys in free agency, including Allen Robinson. What now? Do you really push it and overdraft Calvin Ridley at 8? What do you think, Big Z? We'll ask him that question next. What do you say, Kevin? Are you all for, you know, kicking a dead horse?
I like kicking dead animals, sure, but actually I don't. I don't know why I said that. But no, I don't want Calvin Ridley either. No, and the animal thing was just weird. I don't know. I'm sorry.
But that's okay because I put you on the spot.
Yeah,
I apologize.
I don't understand.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to the Score. Brad Biggs is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program, and a valued friend of both me and, of course, our co-host today, Mr. Zach Zaidman. Big Z!
Well, well, well. What's going on, boys?
How about Zach being in, huh?
Everybody, I know.
Everybody very excited.
I didn't get any, nobody told me yesterday.
No, we like to surprise you, Brad. It's just what we do. We want to get your honest reaction. It's great radio.
That is a pleasant surprise.
What a treat to talk to you, Big Z. All right, let's get right to it. Allen Robinson, did you find out from everything that was said yesterday when we're actually going to get an opportunity to see this guy in a game on the field?
Well, shoot, I don't think he's going to miss game action with this knee injury. I was told the week before free agency started that everything was going really well, and the key thing that was stressed to me was he will not have to start training camp on the PUP list, which would be, you know, that would be a win for the Bears. Does that mean he's practicing every single day in Bourbonnais? Maybe not, but he's practicing and you're working toward that goal of being out there in the preseason and then in the regular season.
You look at what happened yesterday, Biggs, and we've talked about this before, about this idea that that the Bears, people don't want their money and they've had a hard time attracting big guys. And then yesterday, that seems to have turned. It seems as if the idea that that Matt Nagy is there, the idea that Trubisky is going to develop, that is now attractive. And now the Bears are a destination. At least I believe you asked the question and the general manager agreed.
Yeah, The main talking point that I kind of walked out of there that resonated with me as I went home was that they all walked in and talked about the head coach. And this wasn't a situation where all five free agent signings were sitting there at the same time and they were sort of parroting what one another said or piggybacking off one another. This was, you know, one by one, they brought him into the room. So the, you know, one guy was in there fielding questions and the other four were upstairs at Hallis Hall. So it was, and it just seemed kind of, it seemed authentic. You know, they were really excited about their introductory experience with Matt Nagy. They liked what they heard from the coach. They liked what they heard about the coach. Chase Daniel said, you know, that one of the key reasons he came here and talked about his relationship in three seasons with Nagy in Kansas City. So, you know, sometimes you can walk out of these free agency free agency press conferences yawning a little bit because you know, every team that breaks out the checkbook is trying to win the press conference and make the fan base feel real good about the direction of the team in mid-March, and they just seem sort of stale. And yesterday's came across as authentic to me.
I think what it says is if Mitchell Trubisky is the real deal, the Bears have the nucleus in place on that side of the ball to do some special things, because they brought in a big-time offensive mind in Nagy based on what he was able to do last year in Kansas City. You surround Trubisky now with a terrific running back in Jordan Howard. You've got weapons that are multidimensional and dynamic in Cohen, Gabriel. The tight end position has a little bit more flexibility, and you have legitimate wide receivers, if healthy, on the field. But the question still goes back to Trubisky and whether or not he can make the leap that we saw Jared Goff make last season and Carson Wentz make last season. And no one quite knows if that's going to happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think Mitch Trubisky is going to make a jump in year two. I think everyone believes that. It's a question of how big a jump is it? How much improvement does he make from that rookie season? And he got an awful lot of experience last year, 12 starts. So he got nearly a full season. That's under his belt from all accounts, according to the GM and the coach. He's spending nearly his entire time this offseason devoted to football and improvement. And so when they hit the ground running next month with their voluntary off-season workout program, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement in the building. I know that the fan base already has a ton of excitement, but yeah, you've got to see it on the field. You got to, okay, he really has improved, and that's what everybody's going to be looking for. I mean, they've built the whole thing around him. All the decisions that they've made up there have been centered around that quarterback for, well, you know, since they traded up in the draft to get him, and so they are pot committed with Mitch Trubisky, and it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. You know, they've still got a little bit of work to do in free agency here, and then the thing that Pace stressed is the draft is just going to be huge for them.
You know, it's interesting, Brad, because I don't know that they got a pass rusher, but they did make a move after that news conference to get some help on defense. They've obviously brought back their secondary that will return. And when you look at the moves on defense, it just, again, I don't know how many pass rushers the team needs. I would say maybe 10. How do you look at what they've done thus far in terms of their defense and the offense going into a draft? Do you believe? I know they need multiple positions, but have they given themselves an opportunity to stay out of being kind of locked into one?
Well, they're going to have to look for an outside linebacker near the top of the draft. Mm-hmm. What is that? You would think first two rounds. They added Aaron Lynch yesterday, who is only 25 years old. Spent four seasons in San Francisco. Played his first season out there when Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator, had six sacks, I believe, in his second season as well in San Francisco, and then really tailed off the last 2 years. Yes, there was a change in scheme a little bit with what they were doing, and he's also missed a lot of time. I believe he's only played in 14 games combined over the previous two seasons. There was a suspension involved in the 2016 season. But so Lynch is a younger guy that on a one-year deal is going to be motivated to go out there and try to get himself a bigger piece of action next offseason. So it makes sense. He knows the defensive coordinator. He understands the scheme. He's motivated to play better. I think he's probably a rotational guy for them in what they're going to do, but it'll be interesting to see how he fits in, and then more interesting, in my opinion, what else they can add to the mix there with Sam Acho and Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, it's really a tough year, both via the draft and free agency, in terms of fixing the pass rushers and getting better, because they're just not a lot out there. On the offensive line, we haven't talked a lot about this. I know people get bored when we do, but it's such a critical part of this offense going forward. Do we have any bit of a better idea of what the Bears' offensive line is going to look like heading into next season?
Well, not until we find out exactly where Cody Whitehair is going to play and then who's going to join him on the line. So I think those are the, you know, those are the decisions that have got to come here. My my guess is Whitehair winds up at center. That's just a pure guess at this point, guys. They've got some flexibility with the decision they make and how they add a new starter to that line with Josh Sitton, now a Miami Dolphin, and Whitehair has played guard and center, so you need to figure out, A, where he's going to play, and B, who you're going to bring in. I mentioned it yesterday on the show. I think a lot of people have been asking questions about the line, and are they going to go after this name free agent and that name free agent. I think people probably should have, you know, a little bit of confidence in Harry Hiestand, the new offensive line coach, that he'll get it figured out and that they will make some improvements up front.
You know, Brad, we always talk about the team that wins free agency not necessarily winning much else. Is there a different feel, though, with this group because they've attacked the single position that seemed to drag them down? I mean, they got the kicker too, but you know, obviously you go into a season without wide receivers, you're going to have a hard time developing your quarterback. So is there a different sense about this than maybe most seasons when you're looking at free agents?
I think there's a different feel about it for that reason, and that most of these guys are younger. Okay. So they went out,
right,
and they spent money on some guys who, if things pan out here like they hope, they've got guys where they're going to be getting them in the best years of their career. Allen Robinson will turn 25 in late August. Provided that knee's fine, you ought to be getting him in the sweet spot of his career. Trey Burton is 26 years old. He's a guy who is ready for that bigger role now. So you're not paying a 29-year-old guy who is probably, you know, realistically a 29-year-old football player is probably on the back nine in his career. And we've seen the Bears go that route too many times.
All right, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Yep. Have a great weekend. Great
right,
to
pal.
Talk, Zach.
You got it.
And happy St. Patrick's Day, Brad. Enjoy yourself. Everyone is Irish. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go down to Dallas, and we're going to bring in our guy, David Haw, the lead sports columnist of the Chicago Tribune and co-beat writer on Loyola Beat. Come on! That's how big it's gotten! David Haw is next. Molly and Haley on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.